Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Hey everybody, and welcome for the first time this Sunday today to Thrive Online. Isn't that awesome? Today, for the first time, we broadcast our services at Thrive Church online. We are so pumped and so excited about this, and a warm, warm welcome to those of you who are watching online for the very first time and may never have visited Thrive Church physically. The coronavirus has changed things. Today, you're visiting Thrive Church virtually, so welcome to Thrive Online. It's amazing to have you with us, and we hope that the message helps, inspires, equips, and encourages and builds your faith today. And a warm welcome to those of you who are at home today in your Thrive at Home groups. What an amazing opportunity for us to still be together in small group formats all across the East Rand in both Edenvale and Boksburg and the surrounding areas. Small groups of us are getting together in what we call Thrive at Home to get together, watch the message together, build up each other's faith, unpack it, get to grips with it, and enjoy the time together. So welcome to you wherever you are and wherever you're watching today. As you know, our government last Sunday evening put a prohibition, a ban on public gatherings of over 100 people. We want to say that we support, value, and we want to do everything we can to support government in their decision. We want to do everything we can to stop the spread of the virus. And so what we have at this stage and at this point in time is a new normal for us. At the moment, we can't make any long-term plans. We can't make any long-term decisions. We'll take each day and each week as it comes, and we'll communicate as things change. So until we hear otherwise, though, this is the plan. Each week, the services will be online. The link to the service stream, the link to the service will be sent out at 8 a.m. every Sunday, but the stream itself, the service itself, will start at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. every Sunday. So it's important for all those watching and those in their Thrive at Home groups, 9:30 and 5:30 p.m. is when the stream will start. Thrive at Home groups will be gathering together every Sunday, and it's an amazing opportunity for us to be together. We do believe that this is a moment of great opportunity for us to really be the church in this moment and in these challenging times, to be an inviting church that invites people on Sundays to our Thrive at Home groups, to be the church by sending our family and friends the links to the services and to the messages, to be the church by watching together, building each other up, strengthening each other in the Thrive at Home groups, to be the church by having a seven-day faith and not just a Sunday faith, to be the church by being a voice above the crowd, by being voices of hope and voices of reason and be voices of clarity and being voices of encouragement, by being voices that rise above the panic and offer the peace and the hope that God gives. To be the church by not panic buying and arm wrestling people in the supermarkets for toilet paper. Can I get some amens? This last Monday, Pastor Ken said she went into the supermarket and it was like something she'd never seen before. The level of panic and anxiety of people mass buying and bulk buying was crazy. Reminded me of this thing called the Running of the Bulls. The Running of the Bulls is a festival that takes place in a little town called Pamplona in Spain every year. Basically, the idea is this, is that they release up to 10 bulls into the streets of Pamplona along a pre-designated course, and these bulls run, and anybody crazy enough to do this decides that they'll run in front of the bulls. They take off a couple of minutes before the bulls do, and they let the bulls chase them, and you've got to stay away from the bulls' horns. It doesn't end well. People get maimed and hurt and even killed. And this past Monday in the supermarkets was a little bit like the running of the bulls, wasn't it? Let's not be those people at this time. In fact, yesterday I saw a picture actually that somebody posted of Checkers staff busy praying before the store opened. I know why the Checkers staff were praying. They were praying that they would survive the running of the bulls. Let's not be those people. The coronavirus, this virus that has come upon us so unexpectedly, is an opportunity for us to be the church by being together. And in this moment, right now, we are together. Perhaps not in the way we used to, perhaps not in the way that we ideally would prefer, but we are together. And that really, really matters at this time. This virus has disrupted the world, hasn't it? And it's disrupted our world, each of us, so much. People are anxious, people are fearful, people are wondering what does the future hold for them. Never before in our lifetime, church, has the world needed voices of hope like it needs today. Never before in our generation have we had to navigate how to be not afraid. The title of the message today is Not Afraid. You know, as well as I do, that it doesn't help for us to simply go to people and say, hey, don't be afraid. Be not afraid. It's not helpful to people. What helps people is if we give them tools and truths to help them to be not afraid. I saw this, Pastor Ken and I, firsthand this year is our little boy Caleb. He's 7 years of age. He started grade one this past year. And in the few days and weeks leading up to his first day at grade one, he began to tell us how difficult he was finding it and how nervous and a little bit fearful he'd become about going to grade one. We could see that he was fearful. But after his first day, and increasingly every day thereafter, we saw how his level of fear had dropped and how he started to take to school, how he started to love school. The reason for that was he now began to understand the truth of what grade one was like. He knew what his teacher looked like. He knew what his class looked like. He knew what the friends were that he was going to make. And it was the knowledge of the truth of grade one that took away his fear. And for us, it's the knowledge of truth at this point in time that reduces fear. What takes away fear is a knowledge of the truth. Today, I want to just offer us five truths that we must know at this time. Five truths that are so, so, so important for us at this time to grab a hold of and hold on to. Because when we do, it's the knowledge of those truths that reduces fear. The first truth is this. God is not socially distant. Obviously, one of the ways that the coronavirus is contained by a new word, a new term that we have now called social distancing. Social distancing involves isolating ourselves somewhat from larger crowds to stop the spread of the virus. We intentionally separate ourselves from contact. And while social distancing may be happening in our world at this point in time, we need to hold on to the truth that God is not socially distant from us. God doesn't practice social distancing when it comes to us. And we must be careful at this point in time, although we may be socially distant from people, not to be socially distant from God. Let's not apply a separation mentality when it comes to God at this time. Romans 8:38 onwards reminds us of this. Paul writes and he says, so now I live with confidence that there's nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that His love will triumph over death. It'll triumph over life's troubles. I love that. Fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There's nothing in our present or in our future circumstances that can weaken His love. I remember being just at the beginning of my primary school years. Our primary school at the time did a once-a-year fundraising effort. It was a huge fundraising effort. As part of that, what they did was they took the area below the stage where all the musical instruments were housed. It was a massive, big open space, and they turned it into a ghost house. And you had to buy tickets to go and walk the gauntlet or run the gauntlet or get your way through the ghost house. It was a test and a challenge of enormous courage for those of us who were young, because the grade sevens would dress up in their ghostly outfits and they would dress up as scarily as what they could. And they would station themselves at key strategic points throughout the ghost house. And we were encouraged to try and make it through the ghost house without crying. I can remember being in grade two and desperately wanting to make my way through the ghost house. I was so keen, but at the same time, I was so scared. So I asked my dad if he would come with me, and for the first year, he agreed to do so. So I made my way through the ghost house with my hand very tightly in my dad's. And as I thought about that, I thought about the fact that I realized that I could face the future. I could face whatever was around the next corner, whatever grade seven was waiting there to try and terrify me to pieces. I realized that I could face the future and I could face what was around the corner because of who was next to me. And as a church, this is the truth for us, is that we can face what's around the corner because of who's next to us. 1 John 3 reminds us that God calls us His kids, His children. We can cope with what lies ahead of us in scary times because of who He is, a father, and we're His children. Psalm 145 verse 18 reminds us that the Lord is close to all who call on Him. God is close to us at the moment. In this time of social distancing, truth number one, I want to remind us, God is not socially distant. God is closer than He's ever been before. Secondly, I think it's important to remind us at this time that this too shall pass. Everything in life is seasonal. Fruit, vegetables, football teams. You know, Leicester City a few years ago won the English Premier League. The next season, they ended 12th in the log, and their manager got fired. I think nobody more than football fans understand how seasonal things are. They understand the truth that everything is seasonal and this too shall pass. Sadly for Leicester, that form passed. Scripture teaches and reminds us of this, doesn't it? Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, for everything there's a season and a time for every activity. There's a time, there's a season for everything. Guess what, church? There is a time, there is a season for the coronavirus. And it too shall pass. Abraham Lincoln told an incredible story in 1859 about an Eastern king who had once charged or asked his wise men to come up with a sentence that would be true in every season and in every circumstance. The wise men thought about it, and eventually they presented him with this phrase, with these words. They said, and this too shall pass. That's where the saying comes from. Lincoln said in response to that, how much this phrase expresses, how sobering it is in the hour of pride, how consoling it is in the depths of affliction. This virus and the disruption that it has caused is seasonal, and this too shall pass. Hey, guys, this is our new reality for now, but it's not our new reality forever. Third truth is this, is that we live by faith and not by sight. If you've ever watched a really good illusionist, you'll know how fascinating it is, how intriguing and how interesting it is, but at the same time, how frustrating it is when he does a trick in front of you, in front of your very eyes, and yet you know that your eyes have missed what he or she has done. Not everything is as it seems. Hey, our eyes can deceive us at certain times. I want to say this to us, living by sight is not all it's cracked up to be. Sometimes we want to be able to see what the future holds. We want to be able to see around the next corner. We want to be able to see to the end of the journey. But the scripture encourages us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 that we live by faith and not by sight. Church, at this point in time, this is a truth to hold on to, that as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, we live by faith and not by sight. This is the way God has always led His people. This is the way God works, is that He leads us step by step by step. He leads us one step at a time. In fact, Scripture tells us that His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. Remember, the context in which that Scripture would have been written was ancient times. There would have been no electricity. There would have been no ambient light. All you would have had was an oil lamp that when you hold the oil lamp, it would have lit up the path just enough for one step extra. And at this point in time, let's live like that. Let's live by faith, not by sight. Let's live with just enough light for the next step. Hey, we don't know what will happen in a month's time, 2 months' time, 6 months' time, and a year. That's faith. Let's live for today. We have enough light for today. Let's remember God will lead us one step at a time. Let's not try and imagine what's going to happen in the future. Let's just live one day at a time. Let's trust God for provision, for encouragement, for strength, for enough hope and enough faith just for today. Truth number three, we live by faith and not by sight. Fourthly, we need to remember that there is purpose in pain. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, there is always a purpose in pain if we will take the time to discover it. If we'll allow God to work in the situation, if we'll have ears to hear and eyes to see, there is always a purpose in the pain. Anyone who's had a sports injury knows the agony, the discomfort, the pain of going to the physio and the physio starting to work on the muscle that's been injured. Anyone who's been there knows just how sore that can be. But there is a purpose in the pain, and the purpose is that the muscle would be rehabilitated. The purpose is that the muscle would be stronger afterwards than what it would. The purpose is that the muscle would be strengthened. I want to say this, for those of us who follow Jesus, who are disciples of Jesus, there is purpose in this pain, and that is that we would be stronger than ever before. These seasons characterized and marked by difficulty and by pain, they're also characterized and marked by a deep sense of purpose. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 reminds us of this. Paul writes and he says, but that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we can have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures, the world's under pressure at the moment, knowing that our pressures will develop in us a patient endurance. So we've got troubles and pressures, develop a patient endurance. And patient endurance then refines our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. So what we've got in this text is a really powerful progression. I want to show you how the progression goes. So trouble leads to joyful confidence. Once joyful confidence is in us, that then leads to patient endurance. Once the patient endurance starts to take root in our lives, it develops proven character. And proven character, once it's been developed, leads to hope. The beginning of the journey might be troubles, might be pressures. The beginning of the journey might start there with trouble and pressure. But the end destination is hope. Be encouraged today, church. In times of trouble, in times of pressure, in times of incredible challenge, it produces incredible things in those of us who follow Jesus. Joyful confidence, patient endurance, proven character, and hope. Truth number four, there is purpose in pain. Fifthly and lastly, last truth that we need to hold on to at this point in time is that we were made for this. It's often said, you know, that Winston Churchill became Prime Minister of Great Britain at a time in Britain's history when he was really needed, when that the time in history was cut out for him. It was custom designed. It was tailored for him. He was just the kind of Prime Minister that they needed as they entered the Second World War. He came to power in 1940 in his first term as Prime Minister. And it was said that he was made for that role at that time. As Christ followers, I believe we were created, we were designed, we were made for just these kinds of times. These are just the kind of times where Christ followers will thrive. Isn't thrive a great word? Somebody should call their church Thrive Church. Jesus said that as Christ followers, in dark times, his followers would shine. Matthew 5 verse 14 tells us this. He says, your lives light up the world. I love that. At this time, let our lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in some obscure place? This is not the time for us to be hidden. This is not the time for the church to be obscure. This is the time for the church to shine. We're made for this time. Instead, it's placed everywhere in the house and everyone can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them. I love that wording, that at this point in time, the church will shine as light upon the world. And then they'll give their praise to your Father in heaven. The darker the room, the brighter the light. The darker the room, the more welcome the light. The darker the room, the more noticeable the light is. For many people, it feels like a pretty dark room right now, doesn't it? But at this point in time, we were made to shine. So let's let our lives shine brightly. How do we do this? Well, let's be kind. Let's be compassionate. Let's be compassionate and patient with those who are older, those who might be frail, those who might be ill. Let's be kind and compassionate and generous to the poor at this time. Let's offer words of hope. Let's be the voice above the panic. Let's be people who provide voices of hope and clarity. Let's stay connected with family and friends like never before. Let's stay connected to our church community so that we can be encouraged, can be inspired, can become equipped by the word and by each other. How is it that you're going to stay a light that shines? How is it that you're going to be a voice above the panic? Well, you've got to stay in God's word, stay connected to God's word, 7 days a week, and at church online, Thrive Online. First way you stay as a light that shines is you stay connected to God's word. Second, stay connected to each other. You might not want to rub shoulders with others at this point in time. You might not be able to shake hands, but you can give an elbow. Stay connected into Thrive at Home groups. When we do, we'll continue to shine. We'll continue to be a light. What an amazing, amazing time for the church to be the church. What an incredible season we're in for the church. Come, shall we pray together as a church at this time? Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your love. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that today we can be reminded that your word holds so much truth for us. Father, we pray that the truth that you are not socially distant, but that you're near and you're so close to us. We pray that you would give us, each one of us, a deep sense of how close and how near you are to us at this point in time. Thank you that we can be reminded of the truth that this too shall pass, that everything has a season and a time. This moment and the season of challenge will pass. Thank you for your truth that reminds us of that. Thank you that we can be reminded we live by faith and not by sight, that you give us enough light and enough faith and enough provision for just tomorrow, just one day at a time. And I pray that you would encourage us with that truth and that that would be real to us at this time, that we would remember that we were made for this, that there is purpose in the pain, there's purpose in the challenge, and that is that we were made to shine in seasons like this. Father, would you encourage us in that? Would you inspire us through that today? And today, as you're watching there, I want to pray for a very special group of people. You may be watching us today online or in a Thrive at Home group, and you may never have made a decision to follow Jesus. And today, that opportunity is real, and it's in this moment. You may think to yourself, I'm not sure about God, but guess what? He had an appointment with you. You're watching for this very reason in this very moment. And that is this moment that gives you the opportunity, the great invitation to say yes to Jesus. To invite him into your life, to invite him into your life, to take the driver's seat, to begin to take your life and to begin to mold it and shape it and do with it what he wants to do. What an amazing opportunity there is today for those of you who've never made a decision to follow Jesus to do that. Make a decision to surrender your life to him, to give it to him. The scripture tells us that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. The scripture reminds us that when we place our faith and our hope in him, he begins to take our story, begins to take our lives, and he begins to mold them and shape them and make them into something incredible and something beautiful. Scripture tells us that when we call on the name of Jesus, when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, he is faithful and just. He forgives us our past. He forgives us wherever we've gone wrong. He forgives us where we've blown it. He forgives us our sin, and he begins to write a new story. He begins to wipe the slate clean and write his story on our lives. What an amazing opportunity and what an amazing invitation. If that's you today, I'd love the great privilege of praying for you. And right where you are, right where you're watching, right in this moment, you could kneel down. If you're watching by yourself, you could kneel wherever you're watching, or you could just simply sit with your hand on your heart. Or if you're watching in a Thrive at Home group, now's the moment to let your leader know, this is me. And in this moment, I'd love the great privilege of praying for you. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your great love and your great mercy. Thank you that in this moment we realize that you're calling us. Thank you that you are always drawing near to us, that you are close to us. Thank you for the opportunity and this invitation to say yes to Jesus. In this moment, I'm responding to you. I'm saying yes to your invitation. I'm saying yes to a life with you. I'm saying yes to surrendering my life to you. I'm saying yes to inviting you into my life. I'm saying yes to your forgiveness and yes to your offer of new life. I'm saying yes to your offer of a great future here on earth and an eternity in your presence. I'm saying yes to you, Jesus. If you're watching online by yourself, as you're seeing me on the screen right now, there'll be a response below me. You can just click on that to indicate your response. If you're watching at a Thrive at Home group, let your leader know, this is me, I'm responding in this moment. And they'll come alongside you and pray for you right now. Father, thank you for your goodness and your love and your grace. Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness and thank you for this opportunity to respond. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come church, wherever you are, at every Thrive at Home group, let's celebrate with those who've made a decision. Isn't that incredible? Hey, if you've made that decision today, we want to let you know that it's so vital that you connect with us every week at Thrive Online so that we can begin a journey with you, a journey of faith, and you need to get the word into you as often as you can so that we can help you and equip you. You can go download the Thrive Church app. It's got loads of devotionals there where you can start to plug into a reading plan of God's word, and that'll help you enormously. For the rest of us, church, aren't you glad for God's word? Aren't you grateful for his word? Aren't you grateful that we can enter this week not afraid, because God is not distant, he's near. We can remind ourselves, this too shall pass. It's a season that we live by faith. We live by sight. God has given us enough for just the next step. We remind ourselves that there's purpose in the difficulty, purpose in the pain, purpose in the challenge, and that we were made for this. Have an amazing, amazing week, everybody. See you next week at Thrive Online.
What an inspiring word from Pastor Byron. We trust that you have been encouraged, inspired, and helped to move towards Jesus today. So as Pastor Byron encouraged us today, let us choose to be not afraid and choose to be the church and to use every opportunity we get to grow faith and build community. Pastor Byron is now going to encourage us in our giving.
Hi church, literally just in the last few days, we've had to change church up completely so that our church continues to be inspired, encouraged in their faith, and so that we together keep moving towards Jesus. So this Sunday alone, we've taken two massive steps. We've launched Thrive Online and Thrive at Home. With Thrive Online, we took church out of the building and put it online. Not only did that entail a whole bunch of technology solutions, but it also meant mobilizing our entire church to get online to watch. When it comes to Thrive at Home, we're so inspired by the idea of helping our church move towards Jesus that we've mobilized the entire church into life groups called Thrive at Home communities. Thrive Online and Thrive at Home are just the most incredible opportunities to reach more people. Isn't it crazy beautiful that in this time, this season of difficulty, we'll be able to reach more people than ever before? And at the same time, our kids are being discipled through incredible kids' resources that are being sent to parents. In Acts 6 verse 7, it tells us that God's word reigned supreme and kept spreading. That's what's happening here. That's what's going on here. God's word is going to shape and inspire and encourage and bring hope to our church through Thrive at Home and through Thrive Online and through the many, many online guests that join us. God's word will keep spreading. Your generosity can and will make this happen, church. So please continue to give generously, in fact, more generously than ever before, so that we can increase our reach like never before. Your generosity, my generosity, it matters now more than ever before. You'll notice that the bank details for both campuses are located on the screen below me now, as well as the QR codes for SnapScan for both Edenvale and Boksburg campuses. They're below me on the screen right now. We've also added an easy and convenient online giving option that's located in the right-hand side of your screen, the top right-hand side of your screen right now. So as I pray, I'm going to ask you to take note of Thrive Church's bank details, to use the QR codes if you want to snap those right on the screen right now, or you can give online right in this instant using the online giving option in the top right-hand side of your screen. As I pray, please would you give your offering and let's give generously together.
Father, thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for your provision in our lives. Thank you for your generosity to us. We pray today that you would give us great faith, and we pray that you would give us the resource to accompany that great faith. Give us the faith and the resource to be generous in this moment, to enable and ensure that your kingdom moves forward, your church grows and thrives, and that more people are reached with the love and the gospel of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.